Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Fighting on Film, the War Movie Podcast. In this new weekly series, we'll be bringing you our review of Masters of the Air as each new episode drops.
Hello, welcome to our special 9-part review series on Masters of the Air. It's finally here, Matt. It's finally here after years.
10 years in the making.
I know.
We're finally here.
Finally. So now, before we begin, a huge thank you to Apple TV for providing us with an advanced look at the show. They sent it to us in December. The team at Apple, lovely. Thank you very much.
Made my Christmas eventful, that's for sure.
Oh, I know. Wow. Yeah, and we'll be talking more about the series, obviously, week by week, as it's not just being dumped fully on Apple TV. It's going to be weekly released, just like the olden days.
I think that's the better for it, to be honest.
I think so, too. Builds anticipation. But for this series, we've also linked up with, drumroll please, Airfix, to give all of our listeners 10% off all orders on airfix.com for the whole duration of the Masters of the Air series. So from episode 1 to episode 9, starting on the 26th of January to, I think, to early March, you can use the code FOFPODCAST, that's all one word, all capital letters, at checkout to receive 10% off all orders on airfix.com. So if you fancy building a B-17 of your very own, now's the chance.
You can buy one for every episode and paint the name of your favorite fort from that episode onto the Airfix kit.
Wow, I hope someone does that. That'd be amazing. Yeah, that'd be financial really outlay would be insane, but it would be amazing.
It would be.
Yeah. So do remember to use the code FOFPODCAST at checkout for your 10% off of Airfix model kits if you are that way inclined. Now, before we begin, we'll say this episode does contain heavy spoilers for episode 1. So if you haven't seen it, or if you're going to listen to the episode to sort of work out whether you want to go and get an Apple TV subscription, then by all means, listen from here on in. But you've been warned. So in this episode, we'll give you a brief rundown of the production and the main players, and then into the review. But if any significant characters are introduced during the series run, I'll mention them at the start of the episode going forward. And there are just so many characters in Masters of the Air that I'm only going to mention some of the main players in this episode, or we'd be here for hours. So, Matt, you're on production today. Do you want to give us some insight into the production of Masters of the Air?
Yes. Now, we've been anticipating this show for what seems like years, and it is years. It was first sort of reported on back in late 2012 that the production team behind Band of Brothers and the Pacific were going to come forward with a new show focused on U.S. Army Air Force. So executive producer Gary Goetzman, Tom Hanks, and of course Steven Spielberg are the lead three executive producers on the show. The show was created by John Shaban, and John Orloff. And it's largely based on Donald Miller's 2017 book, Masters of the Air. And the show didn't really seem to get into production until about 2020. So that's 8 years between first possible announcement to actual launch of production. So it was in development for quite a while.
People have had entire lives while this has been going on. Like I went to uni, got married and had a son in the time it took them to get this on the TV. It's incredible.
Right, exactly. So HBO initially attached, as with the other two earlier series, and then later production was acquired by Apple TV, and Apple TV's Apple Studios, which is their in-house production company, took it over, and this was actually their first major production for the company. And filming began in the UK in 2021. A couple of brief breaks for COVID pauses due to some onset positive tests, etc.
Of course. Yeah.
So, you know, there's people kind of, I forget the actual terminology, the name for it within the industry, but like the COVID marshals of making sure that everything's safe and everyone's
negative. And COVID marshal.
Keeping distance, that sort of thing. So the show, as we kind of alluded to there, had a budget of about $250 to $300 million. And that is considerable. And if you look at Band of Brothers in 2001, that had about $125 million. And then Pacific in 2010 had about $200 million. So it seems to be stepping up. Yeah. And, you know, by that logic, we should have the next series, probably a naval one, in about 2033.
Maybe. I'm sure final film will still be going a bit earlier. Then,
We've got far too many war films.
There'll be hologram pods by then. It will be beamed into your head just directly.
It will. The show is also executive produced by Kari Fukunaga, who is also the director of the first four episodes, which gives the beginning of the series an interesting continuity in sort of like approach. Yeah. And then there's a couple of other directors a little bit later on in the series, which we'll cover as we come to those episodes. And Fukunaga is known for True Detective, Maniac, Beasts of No Nation in 2015. And of course, most recently, he directed No Time to Die, the latest Bond film in 2021.
In good hands. Good director.
Yeah. And then just rounding out the production side of things, because we're going to keep it simple, and we'll touch on production and cast each week when things come up.
And do look out for some special episodes concerning the production, because we do have a couple of specials coming out.
Oh, yeah, we've got some good stuff lined up.
Very good.
Locations-wise, we're looking at Bovingdon Airfield Studios in Hertfordshire and Dalton Barracks, which is at the former RAF Abingdon. Dalton Barracks is currently a Royal Logistics Corps barracks, I believe. Mm-hmm. And some of the it stood in for Thorpe Abbotts, which is the air base that the 100th flew from. So that kind of rounds out the production side of things. How about cast?
Right. So for cast, I'm only be mentioning, as I said, four of the major players in the episode. But in true Band of Brothers specific style, there's a lot of young and up and coming actors and actors that are really going to be future stars and are just at the start of their careers. I think it's been said by some outlets and possibly by some of the production team themselves that they really struck lucky with the casting. Because since the show's gone into production, it's come out today. Some of these stars have done really, really well. So we have Austin Butler as Major Gale Cleven. He's a Golden Globe winner, an Academy Award nominee for his role in Baz Luhrmann's Elvis in 2022. He'll also star in the upcoming Dune sequel later this year. And a little interesting thing, he seems to have picked up a little bit of his Elvis accent in this one. I think there's times where it does dip into Elvis a little bit.
When he goes into a slightly deeper register...
Yeah,
you can
hear the Elvis in there because he famously couldn't shake the Elvis accent after doing the movie. So, and this came really hot off the heels of filming that one, I think. So, we'll let him off. He's a fantastic actor. He's very, very good in this. Then we have Callum Turner as Major John Bucky Egan. He's a British actor. He appeared in the BBC's War and Peace in 2016, and he received a BAFTA nomination for his role in The Capture in 2019. Then we have Anthony Boyle as Major Harry Crosby, and he also serves as the show's narrator. So he dips in with little tidbits here and there. In episode one, he gives you a little bit of a brief introduction into the Flying Fortress and how it all worked when they're going up onto a raid. And I really like that. I don't know about you, Matt. I think his narration really helps the show. It really sort of settles you in as a viewer, especially if you're not Air Force inclined. It really helps to ease the viewer in to some of the more technical aspects of what's going on.
Yeah, gives some nice context.
Really good writing things by a little bit. And he's a Welsh actor. He appeared in Derry Girls, HBO's Plot Against America, and he will be playing John Wilkes Booth in the upcoming miniseries Manhunt that's also going to be on Apple TV. That's really cool. Looking forward to seeing him in that. Yet again, you know, fantastic casting. Very, very good in this. Then we have Barry Keoghan as Lieutenant Curtis Biddick. He's an Irish actor who shot to fame recently for his roles in The Banshees of Inisherin, Top Boy, and of course Saltburn, that is doing the rounds everywhere at the moment. I think it's probably one of the most talked about movies of the year so far. But he also has a couple of military roles under his belt, being in 2017's Dunkirk and 71. If you remember him in that. Very fresh face in that one.
I'll have to keep an eye out for him in that.
Mm. I think he might even play the young lad that steals the SLR in that.
Oh, really?
I can't quite remember. Mm. He's definitely in it, though.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
He's going to be in Dune 2 as well, I believe.
Is he in Dune 2 as well? Ah, fair enough.
I think so.
Well, a little bit of a Masters of the Air reunion there. Masters of the Dunes.
Oof, like it.
Yeah. Nice one. Yeah, so that is the sort of main players. There's, as I say, there's so many cast members in this, you know, from bow gunners to turret gunners to radio men to, flight crew on the ground. There's just so much going on that I can't fit everyone in because it would be three or four episodes worth of not of facts and knowledge. So into the main meat of the episode now with our run down some of our thoughts of episode one. Matt, the floor is yours.
Yeah, let's jump into the bomber stream, as it were. I really enjoyed it. I went into it a little bit skeptical because, you know, these things are hyped so much.
Yeah.
And we had the trailers.
Of me bad mouthing it, but being very wary of it. There's probably clips that Rob fans have
Rob
got.
Was arguably even more wary of it than I was.
I really was, yeah.
And I was like, no, give it a chance. Like that second trailer looks good. It's promising. I'd never been one that was going to build it up to the levels of Pacific and Band of Brothers because you just can't. We've lived with those shows. We've watched them numerous times.
They're in our cultural
sort of zeitgeist. And this will find its place, and I'm very sure that it will. Having watched the whole series, which, spoilers, I will say I did enjoy all of it, but staying specifically with the first episode, I thought it was a very strong introduction to the main characters that we are with for most of the show.
Yeah.
And I thought it went well. Mm. Just sticking with Cass for a second, I can't pick out a performance in there that was weak. I thought everyone from...
Yeah.
From the small supporting actors to the main cast for this episode, everyone was spot on. Really great performances.
The amount of work and effort that's been put into bringing this onto the screen. You see it in every single frame, you know, from how a bar's dressed, how a tent looks, how an inside of an interrogation hut looks. It's just these little, as we say on the show, mise-en-scene, but these little details that the show just quite literally puts right in front of you. All the money they've spent is on the screen. And I really enjoy saying that. And as Matt said, I was quite wary when it came out because I think, and I was thinking about this while I was doing my notes for the show, I think the way we consume media has changed so much. Obviously it has, but it's changed so much, even from when The Pacific came out. So I've watched trailers for this on my phone, on my laptop. I haven't seen them on my big, you know, 4K TV or whatever. And I'm sure a lot of people haven't as well. So I think some of that initial... sort of worry about it might have come from the fact I didn't watch it on a proper screen, a proper sit down comfy. I was, you know, snatching a look at a trailer here and there. So I think it was that.
What did you watch the show on?
My laptop.
Okay. I watched it on my desktop.
Okay. But it's a MacBook with all the bells and whistles. So the picture's very nice on it.
Get you.
I'm flexing on the show, but I didn't mean to. But no, it is. So the first thing I'm going to pick out is, and I've said it in the cast, but the narration by Crosby, it really settles you in as a viewer. So he introduces us to the main characters. There's a section where Bucky, Cleven, has just landed. Not Cleven. Yeah, Cleven. Buck has just landed. Austin Butler's character. And he's introducing himself to all the sort of crewmen and the radio men, things like that. And you have Crosby's narration over it, and he introduces you to the characters. And I felt really at home, you know, I'm getting to know these guys, and someone's going to be there talking in my ear, letting me know about them. And I like that. It's a different approach to introduction than the Band of Brothers did or the Pacific did. But I think for this, it works because there's so many different planes in the air. There's so many different things going on that having this little introduction sequence is just very much appreciated it as a viewer.
Yeah, and it builds on that throughout the episode, doesn't it? As you mentioned earlier, it does explain some of the, you know, the process of getting those crews ready and getting them in the air and then getting them like formed up and then how they bomb a target, that kind of thing. And I think that works pretty well throughout.
It does
build on that former model with, you know, Band of Brothers and Pacific, where they have that narration. But it is a little bit different, as you say. It works really well, though.
It does. No, it's fantastic. And then to lead off from that with Crosby, one of my favourite parts of the episode is it comes quite late on in the episode. I think it's about middle section, the middle of the episode, where there's a belly landing of Crosby's B-17. Now they've got lost in France. They've accidentally flown over French soil and got shot at by flak. And that's a very tense scene. All the air sequences in episode one are very tense. They're very loose. You're not sure who's going to survive, who might not. You know, it shows you, you know, these are just planes in the sky. You know, you could be gone at any moment. It does that really, really well. So they're coming in to land at Thorpe Abbott's airfield. And there's a belly landing, as I say. And it's very intense. It's really well shot, well paced. So many great angles of the plane coming down. You've got, you know, you see the view from the nose on the ground. You see the view from the tail turret, and you see a side shot of the B-17 coming down, which looks fantastic. And the CG really, really works. And then they hit the ground, and you think, oh God, the B-17 is going to explode, but it's a fake out. It doesn't, and they all bail out.
Yeah.
But it's
they do that classic thing of where they run away from the aircraft or the vehicle, don't they?
Yeah, it's
and
great.
Think, oh, it's going to blow any minute.
I really like that fake out. But then you get the base feels alive, is what I'm trying to say. So it isn't like in Memphis Belle where the base just felt a bit, it's just there. You know, it's just like a place for the main characters to interact with.
Yeah.
I felt everyone on that base, they're doing their job, they're reacting. And when everyone comes out in the jeeps and the ambulances to help them, it feels natural. And that's a really good way of sort of showing the base how it works. You know, everyone on that base is there to service these planes, make them get in the air so the crews can go on the raid and look after them. And it's a really nice little introductory sequence because you then get the flight crews coming over them and mechanics, and they're going to be working on the planes. And that's
I love the introduction and mechanics, actually.
And they have a lot to do in this. They're not just secondary characters. They are important, you know, and this is something that the Masters of the Air gets, is that it's a family almost, isn't it? They're working for a common goal, and it understands that. But that belly sequence for me is right up there. And then yet again, the writing comes in, and there's a really great line. So some of I think it's got more laughs in it in episode one than Banner Brothers had. You know, apart from the scene where they're all throwing up the spaghetti, I think that's quite a serious episode. But there's a line where his captain says to Crosby, "You're a navigator, Crosby. You know, you should be able to, I don't know, find England." And it's so funny to me.
No, it's great. There's actually, speaking of dialogue, there's a great line that I like between Cros and his friend Bubbles. And he says, I think it's Crosby that kind of criticizes Buck and Bucky. And he's like, they've watched Test Pilot a few too many times. And I love that reference. That's a reference to the 1938 Clark Gable and Spencer Tracy movie, Test Pilot, which is about the pre-production testing of the B-17. And I love that. I thought that was a really nice cultural reference.
Yeah.
That if you haven't seen that film, it's, you know, it's not a film that everyone will go, oh, yeah, of course. it's just a really nice inclusion.
And of course, Clark Gable
cultural
was
reference
in the USA.
Yeah, exactly.
In the war. Yeah.
It's a cultural reference that they would have understood at the time. And it's a good piece of dialogue, I thought.
Mm.
Yeah, that sequence is great. I do love the fake out. I also, speaking of landings, I really like the landing in Greenland. There's a sequence where it's a ferry flight. They're flying a wing of B-17s to the UK. And there's this great shot of three or four forts coming down a fjord in Greenland to land at Bluey West, West 1 Air Base. And they're coming into land and it's windy, and you get to see some of the technicality of the aircraft and how it's handled and how it's flown, because you know they're moving the controls and they're trying to like sort their pitch and you know balance their engine power and get that down in like a crosswind. And there's a great shot of Book manages to land his plane, and then he sees the next one coming in, and as he says, you know, you should pull up out of that. He does, and the plane just goes into like a steep climb, and it just looks really good. It's that whole sequence in Greenland is really well done, and that's the first kind of inkling after the first sequence of aviation we get at the very very beginning of the episode that you think, okay, this is the CGI on this is actually going to stand up to the level of production value that they've put into this.
Yeah, and it only gets better from there as well. I think, this is only episode one, folks. Remember, you've got 9 more episodes of aerial sequences coming up, and we can't say anything about them. They're under embargo right now. That's why we're doing episodes weekly, not a full series overview, but it just gets better. So I think maybe we're going to have a very, very quick, tight alley tally this week. So roll the Adcast advert, and we're into the alley tally.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Pilot the Bombardier, did you know you can join the Fighting on Film Patreon for as little as £2.50 per month, which includes a vote in the Patreon pick, exclusive podcast news, guest announcements, and a hell of a whole lot more. Now let's get this baby home.
Matthew, your first Masters of the Air alley tally. You've been waiting nearly 10 years for this moment. What's your pick?
1911 shoulder holsters and bomber jackets. The ultimate vibe.
They are very, very cool. So the flight jackets were actually provided by Eastman Leather Clothing.
Yeah, UK-based company, I believe.
UK-based company who've done Fury, they've done Pearl Harbor, they've done Catch-22. Their stuff's very, very expensive, but it looks bloody good on a camera.
I think the level of detail they go into, they really do seem to know their stuff. You know, reading their blog and looking across their website, you know, they talk about the various different types of flight jacket and bomber jacket that they, you know, they developed during the war.
Yeah.
And then they've replicated them from original examples and stuff like that. So
it's great.
I believe they provided a lot of like vintage stuff, like flying caps, helmets,
I love the
headphones and the goggles and stuff.
I love the mid-gunners caps they wear. They're so cool.
They look like you could just wear them normally.
Like this, so they're just timeless pieces. So for me, my alley pick is very similar to yours, and I don't know why, but it's just when you see something, you're like, right, that's why this is a good show.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing this week is there's a bag of powdered eggs in the sequence where but stay with me, Matt's laughing.
There's a great line about the powdered eggs, isn't there, as well?
Yeah, there is a very good line, yeah. But they're making a really nice breakfast for them because it's the morning before the raid, and they end up calling this the Last Supper, yeah. And there's a lovely sequence where a guy just, you know, a USAF Army chef gets a you know, spoonful of powdered egg, whacks it in some water and starts whisking it, and you're like, oh God, that looks disgusting. Like, but it wasn't the fact that they were powdered eggs. It was the fact that it was the 1940s packaging, and it was a paper bag, and it was all folded round and over. And I was like, someone's gone into the time and had taken the time to research that one tiny bag for maybe a 2 second clip. And that was there. And then I was locked into Master of the Air episode one. I was like, right, if you're going to do that much digging for a sack of powdered eggs, then everything else on top of that is the cream on the crop. Is the cream of the crop, if you know what, is the cream, if you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
It's that for me. I never thought I'd be saying.
I love that whole sequence, actually. You know, the bit, that shot where the camera sort of moves along the line of guys waiting to get chow. And that is the perfect way of illustrating the human scale of one of these, you know, wings that are going to join a main sort of bombing raid.
Yeah. And how they're like all eating, like they're eating like young
dozens
men. Like,
and dozens and dozens of guys.
You know? Yeah. It's that. It really gets it over to you. I know the sequence you're talking, the shot you're talking about, the long
really
line
nicely
of
shot.
It reminded me a little bit of the line of when the bomber crew come in Matter of Life and Death, and you see how young they are. It's like that for me. I'm like, that's one thing I wanted to pick up on in this episode, is that this series gets how young they were. Like, they've chosen very young looking boys.
The ball turret gunner, I feel like the ball turret gunner that they linger on, and he says, God be with you and all this.
Mm.
And then he gets into the ball turret. I think he's the perfect illustration of that, you know, the youth.
He's him like Sean and Austin
the lead technical mechanic as well, technical sergeant that's head of the air crew. He's so young.
Yeah, they really, really get that in this. So we're coming up to the end of our first thoughts on Master of the Air. These are going to be a lot more looser reviews than what you're used to on Final Film, because we want you guys to go away and watch it. We don't want to give away major plot points because there's a raid at the end of the episode we haven't even got onto, but we want people to go away and watch it, you know, because it's...
Well, we've got to talk about that briefly.
We'll talk about it quickly, and then we'll talk about the final... We'll do our final thoughts. So, Matt, the raid, come on.
I was just struck by how brutal it was.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
There's a couple of sequences later in the series which are even, you know, more striking. But as an introductory sequence, I thought it was great. So at the very beginning, when we get the introduction to the two leads, there's a brief sort of aviation scene where Bucky is... he's an observer pilot on a mission before the rest of the group arrives, and it shows the, you know, the kind of the carnage on board. But the bit that I liked from that sequence is when they land, it pans around as he's asking the pilot that's more experienced, like, is it always like this? And it pans around, and you get this great shot of just seeing the devastation and the damage all across the Flying Fortress. Yeah. The gaping holes and the bullet holes, you know, and the where Flak has torn the wing plating apart and stuff like that. And I thought that was great. I thought, oh,
yeah,
that's a great shot. And then we get that main sequence of the raid on Bremen, which I think was in early August 43.
Yeah. It was against the Weser River, and it was to attack the U-boat pens, bomb the U-boat pens.
That's right. Yeah. So the series begins in July 1943. And I think that raid is late July, early August. Anyway, there's one part of it that really stood out to me. There's a part where the flak stops, it all becomes quiet.
It's like the eye of the storm.
Yeah. Then the Luftwaffe ME-109s, I think they are, come in and fire. They come head on and they fire straight into the cockpit, and the co-pilot's face is shot away. And we get a lingering shot of his sort of mouth and face shot away. And the co-pilot turns to look at him. Well, the pilot turns to look at him, and he sees that he's gone. And then the entire cockpit just bursts into flames as,
yeah, the air
as the whole
tanks.
Aircraft just goes.
Yeah, they explode. Yeah,
yeah.
And that is so brutal. And you think, wow, that's one plane out of how many are on that raid. And that's one thing that's going on in one cockpit. But then it will pan to someone that maybe like a mid door gunner, like, and he'll look out his window and he'll be like, oh, that plane's been hit over there, and then that plane's falling out of the sky, and then another plane's falling out of the sky, and you're like, oh my god, it doesn't let up at you, it doesn't let you breathe.
No.
And like, it does, just like the crews, they have that moment of reprieve where, you know, you could, as a viewer, you could sip your coffee quickly or whatever you're doing, and then right, you're back into it because, oh god, now the planes are coming. You know, it really gets this sort of tension and edge of your seat thrills that we really were hoping for with the first episode. But the horrible irony of it is they don't even get to drop the bombs because of the cloud cover over Bremen.
Yeah.
And they have to go back. And
I think for the audience, that'll really shock some people.
I think
it's certainly, you know, I wasn't expecting that, because you kind of expect it's a bombing raid, they're going to drop the bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course they didn't always drop the bombs.
No.
You don't expect that to be the introduction to the process. And I really like that.
But it
and
gets
of course,
over.
The history's there.
Exactly. Yeah. But it, as a first taster of a raid for not only the characters, but as a viewer, you see the danger and the bravery put forward on a raid.
Yeah.
And the horrible things, you don't even get to do your job. You only get to do half of it. Then you've got to go home.
You've got to go back all the way through that flak.
Yeah, and do
all
it
the way
all
home
again.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's a perfect end. It's the whole. I would preface this one as it's a series of near misses for a lot of the crews, and they get this like shock of reality. And the end of the episode, I've got it quoted here. Cleven and Egan. Their nicknames are Bucky and Buck, so I'm going to try and call them Cleven and Egan as we go ahead. I think it'll be more less confusing. So they're driving a Jeep back after the main raid's been scrubbed, and they've all come back. They pile everyone off to the interrogation. That's quite frantic, and really, really enjoyed seeing that. And Cleven says, "Why didn't you tell me? You've been up for two missions. You didn't tell me it was like this. Buck, I didn't know what to say. You've seen it now. Cleven, I don't know what I saw. 30 guys just, Buck, should have been up there with you. Cleven, got a long road ahead of us. Buck, yeah."
Yeah.
Perfect.
It's a really
perfect
nice callback
end.
to that opening sequence as well, where he goes, "Why didn't you tell me it was like that?" He says that to the guy he's with. And it's a nice full circle.
It's fantastic.
Just within that, you know, that franticness, the frenetic energy of the actual sequence that you talked about as well. What I really liked is the small vignettes of individuals that it shows throughout that as well. So there's a tail gunner who has a jam on his 250s, and he opens the top covers with his gloves off, and then he closes them and his hands are stuck to the receiver,
to the
feed tray covers, because it's so cold and he's not had his gloves on, and he rips his palms off the guns. And it's like, they're small things that you would never have thought of.
Mm. And one of the lads gets wounded, and he's in the what you call it, like the bow of the plane.
The bombardier's position.
Bombardier's
the
position.
Front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's like, oh gosh, you're freezing. Get this man a blanket, because he's been disconnected from his electric suit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's these little details. I know a few people, when we mentioned we'd be good doing this series, they were worried about the little aspects like that getting in, but no, they directly addressed them, which I really appreciated. So that, you know, Orloff and the production team have really done their research. So, rounding out episode one of Masters of the Air, Matt, with your final thoughts, please.
I can't wait for more. I mean, I know I've already seen it, but I'm enjoying rewatching it. I watched it. It must have been mid-December when I watched it the first time, and Rob kind of binged ahead of me and watched like five episodes within 2 days, and I'm busy with like wrapping presents and shit, Rob. I can't just sit down and watch an entire season.
Christmas.
How you managed it, I don't know. But
cups of tea and a vape, and I was in, mate. I was loving life.
So it's been a little bit since I watched it, and I've been tempted to rewatch it again earlier and, you know, maybe write notes, but I thought, no, I'll wait till
this is my third viewing.
Oh my word, really?
Yeah.
I love it. So I've been putting it off. So I kind of like, it ruminates in the back of my head. And then when I come to watch it again, as the release dates come up, it's fresh. I mean, I'm not afraid to say that I finished watching this episode not half an hour before we recorded. So it's,
that's how fresh it is, folks. Fresher than fresh on FOF.
Super fresh. But it does leave you with this feeling of I can't wait to see what happens to these characters.
And the end of episode one is ended with a coming up next, but for these episodes we won't do that, just in case you haven't seen episode one in its entirety yet, if you're still with us, still listening. So I'm very much the same as Matt. I think it's a very strong, very well-paced opener to the series. You get a bit of everything. You see,
that's something we didn't mention. Pacing.
The pacing is very good. Yeah. This clocks in at about 55 minutes, 58 minutes. And it doesn't feel like that. So I paused it halfway through to make a drink. And I was like, oh, blimey, I'm like 40 minutes in. It didn't feel like that. And that's great. When a program or a film can do that, when it can suspend time for you, I think it's doing a good job. So I've got down here, if you're a fan of 12 O'Clock High, Memphis Belle, Banner Brothers, or The Pacific, you'll definitely want to tune in and get yourself an Apple TV subscription.
Before we go, I'm going to try and do this weekly, but we have a little feature called Fort Name of the Week. And this week I'm going to go with Alice from Dallas as the best name of a Flying Fortress in the show, in the episode.
Oh, I wasn't picking out for that.
I'm just picking mine out. You can pick yours next week.
Yeah, I'll do mine next week. Yeah. No, I love that. It's great. There's some great fort names in this. I really like it. Really nice. Yeah, so that was Masters of the Air, episode one. It's out now on Apple TV. And obviously join us again for another major war movie review weekly. These are going to be dropped in when they release, just because of embargoes lifting, things like that.
Yeah, so the plan is we'll have normal weekly movie reviews where we talk about various different war movies every week.
Yeah.
And then on the day release of Masters of the Air, we will drop our review episode. So you can watch the show, listen to the episode, watch the show if you're that way inclined.
We've got a few listeners that do that.
Yeah, we do.
And don't forget, if you would like 10% off all airfix.com orders, use the code FOFPODCAST at checkout. That's all one word, all caps. You'll get a tasty 10% off. And if you do end up building something, why not drop us a tweet? Do we still call them tweets?
Follow us on some social media, wherever you like. You can find links to all those on our website,
fightingonfilmthreads.com. YouTube. The other ones.
And if you end up painting Alice from Dallas with your FX kit, let us know.
Yeah, please do. And we'll catch you next time for another Masters of the Air review. Tune in again, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.